Hello, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Super Podcast. And of course, I am Super Marcy, and I am solo today, as this is going to be a bit of a different podcast than usual because I'm going to talk about and review some recent releases that I've seen, and I haven't managed to write a review for them just mainly because of my health problems. So I thought I might as well record and talk about the movies, and then you can hear my thoughts instead of reading them. So hopefully that's all okay, and I'm not too boring without somebody else chatting with me. So fingers crossed, knock on wood. Alright, so let's get to it. First up on the menu is the RoboCop remake. So that movie has been out a little while, and unfortunately I just haven't gotten around to writing a review because of my health, but hopefully I will still be able to get something done. But you can hear my thoughts now. So yeah, I guess with everybody, you know, going into this, it's like, you know, do we really need a remake? The movie's not really that old. It still holds up. It's a great movie, and it's just something that you can't really recreate successfully. And I think in doing this, the people behind it kind of knew that they couldn't recreate it. So they took the basic idea of a RoboCop and made the film about something else completely. So it doesn't really share the themes that the original had. It is quite different. The look and feel, the tone, I mean, everything, it really is different. There's some nods to the original, but it really just wanted to try and be its own thing. And I think the film is actually all the better for it. While it's not an absolutely fantastic film, it is, you know, a fairly decent one. I enjoyed it. Not to the extent I would have, you know, enjoyed the original, of course. And it's hard not to compare the two, even though they're not really the same. But yeah, it surprised me. With this one being that we have, it's still set in Detroit. So we still have the cop who gets turned into a RoboCop. But the way it happens is quite different. They're trying to, I mean, the movie has something to say about drones and, you know, I guess what you would, you know, using machines without having a person behind them. So there is that. Ace, our wonderful cop, Alex Murphy, played by Joel Kinnaman, I can't say the name. He's, you know, a good cop trying to fight against the dirty cops, but he ends up getting severely injured, not in a shootout with the main bad guy where, you know, his arms and legs end up flying off. He, his car explodes with car bombs, so he's still being kept alive, and they feel like they can use him, incorporate him into, you know, a machine which would make this something that the public would get behind rather than, you know, the machines not having a human in, you know, element. So he gets, you know, transformed with the permission of his wife, which is different again to the original. And the main force behind this is obviously the company, which is run by Michael Keaton, doing his best evil kind of guy. And the doctor scientist behind it is Gary Oldman, who actually really is the star of this movie, which might be surprising that it's not so much the RoboCop, I guess. And we sort of, you know, the first part of the movie is really about, you know, the human element, the machine element, you know, how much is too much with adding in the technology. So it kind of goes through a lot of that. We get to see just how much physically is left of Alex, how much physically is robotic, and then, you know, what they can do with his brain and all that sort of stuff. And I guess it's he regains his humanity. So it kind of goes with that storyline. And I guess it was interesting because it tackled interesting themes of, like, you know, terrorism and the computers, machines doing all these things without a human element behind it. And, of course, lots to say about corporations. So the themes are quite different. It's not like it's a satirical film like the original. So it had a lot of ambition to make it really different. And I don't think those ideas and themes were fully fleshed out, but I think it did a decent job of at least trying to get there. And it certainly left open for another film, and I wouldn't be opposed to it because I think they could, you know, flesh those ideas out a bit more. So, yeah, at the end of the day, 3 out of 5 rating for that. And next up is the long-awaited sequel, Wolf Creek 2. And some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that last year I got to be part of the test audience for Wolf Creek 2. So I'd actually seen this film quite a while ago, and I've had to say quite about it. And now that the film is out, more people can see it, obviously, and it does have the US release now, so I think that's due out sometime in May. So yeah, if you're a fan of the first one, don't go in expecting this to be a carbon copy, because it's a very different film. And having seen it at the test screening and then seeing it again upon its release, I had actually read the first prequel novel, which was written by Aaron Stearns, who's the co-writer of the sequel. And the before and after of reading that book with watching the films was quite different. There's more of a deeper understanding for me of the character of Mick Taylor, played by John Jarrett. And there's a lot of foreshadowing in the book that you can see in the film. So in that respect, yeah, it feels quite different between the two, but there's also, they really went for something completely different. I think it turns those expectations you might have on its head. And it is a lot more gory than the first one, but it's quite different. And really, trying to tell you the plot kind of would spoil it, but I will just say the people you think that you're going to follow through the movie is not exactly who you end up going to follow. And this really acts as an intense cat and mouse game. And yeah, Mick Taylor, he is in it more. He definitely is very darkly comedic in an uncomfortable way. So I guess it's kind of depend if you really found him that interesting as to how you may react to this. Personally, I really, really enjoyed it both times, maybe even more so after the book. And I just think the third act in this film is some of the most intense that I've seen recently, and I definitely was just digging my nails into the palm of my hands even on the second time, just with how intense and nerve-wracking it is. It's really well done, and I think that people will probably go into this, I don't know, if you're going to look at critics reviews who are definitely biased towards disliking horror, I would say go into it with an open mind. You can really only judge things for yourself, so don't have any expectations whether you're a fan or not. You know, if you like the genre, fantastic, go and see, support genre films. And it's good that it has made money at the Australian box office. I think that helps the Australian genre prospects, because you know, Australians do make really good horror films. It's just a matter of them actually making money so we can get more made, have that interest there. So, yeah, support Wolf Creek 2. And for those in the US, other parts of the world, definitely check for release dates. And I'm sure there's a lot of Wolf Creek fans who'll be interested to check it out. And what else have I seen? Excuse me. My memory is that bad. I can't remember what I've seen. Oh, I may as well talk about something I watched last night, actually. called Drew, The Man Behind the Poster, a documentary, a long-awaited documentary, about the artist Drew Struzan. And thank you to my good friend and regular site contributor, Dan McIntosh, for letting me know that it was, in fact, available. So I did get to check it out, and it was a really, really good and entertaining documentary. It's really good to hear about Drew talk about his own projects, his true feelings on having worked on studio projects, what it's like to kind of do things under instruction. And I guess, you know, once you deliver something, it may not even get used. And there's a lot of really good interviews on there, aside from Drew, with his wife, his son, and you've got, like, Michael J. Fox, who's been the subject of, you know, the Back to the Future posters that he's done. We get Harrison Ford, and it's really funny that Drew and Harrison haven't actually met, well, through all that time where Drew was drawing his likeness. They did meet when they were making this, and that's shown on the documentary, so it's a really great moment. You have Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, obviously people who have worked with him quite a lot, and their films are just very iconic with his work. You get people like Thomas Jane, Guillermo del Toro, and of course Frank Darabont. So it's a really great documentary. If you're not overly familiar with Drew, but you do have an interest in art, it's something you really should check out, because he is a master. And if, like me, you just absolutely love movie poster, like, artwork, not the crappy Photoshop crap we get today, but the classic stuff, this is really, really good. It's really enjoyable. It's about, you know, 90 minutes long, but it flies by. It's probably even worth a rewatch, just because it's so good. It really is like a fan love letter to the man. Because he's so great. He's very inspiring. If you look at his art, it really makes you want to create it. Although when you do, it might look nothing like anything he's done. But yeah, it's really good and highly recommended. Next up, I have remembered what else I watched. I did check out Nonstop, the new thriller starring Liam Neeson. And excuse, you know, if this film kind of might be in a little bit of bad taste, considering there's been a missing plane for over a week and there's talk that it could have been hijacked. So, you know, obviously thoughts are with those that were on the plane and their families. It's unfortunate timing of the release of this movie and having seen it. So with that in mind, Nonstop is about Liam Neeson, who is a US Air Marshal. He boards a plane, and once he's on board, he gets a threat about someone's telling him that people are going to die on the plane if this money doesn't get delivered. And all signs from the outside seem to point to Liam Neeson being the terrorist, and he's suspected, and people on the plane are just really confused as to what's going on, and slowly then people do start dying. And, you know, it is a thriller. It keeps you guessing. If you don't work it out early on, you'll kind of get the drift, you know, toward, I think you work it out before it's revealed, and I kind of had those ideas. So, but, you know, as just an afternoon thriller that you can watch, it is really good. It's entertaining for what it is. Liam Neeson, I mean, how did this happen? Like, he's an action star. He's not someone you'd expect to be an action star, but, you know, he does the job well. You know, you could do a lot worse. It's a really entertaining film. It's not extraordinary, but, you know, at least you can enjoy. Okay. My recording software just went loop-de-doop, but it should be back on now. Yes. So, yeah, interesting movie, good cast, worth watching. And I just realized I forgot to give ratings. Wolf Creek 2 would be 3.5 stars. Drew Struzan documentary, definitely 5 stars. Nonstop, I would sit on a 3 out of 5. And the most, well, actually, Drew Struzan was the most recent, but theatrically, the most recent film I saw was The Monuments Men, and I was looking forward to it. I like the cast, I like what George Clooney generally has to offer as far as a filmmaker, but it had been just hit with really, really negative reviews. So that alone, I was just curious. People that I, you know, I always read their reviews, check out their opinions, had said that, you know, it's maybe it's been unfairly judged. They quite enjoyed it. So I just went in. I thought, I'm not going to expect anything because I don't like to do that. But I went in. I thought it was an all right movie. I didn't think it was nearly as bad as people have said it is. It's not a fantastic film, but, you know, it is what it is. It takes a really interesting subject. And I do actually really want to read the book because it is an interesting subject, which is about, obviously, in World War II, the Nazis wanted to steal a lot of art and all that stuff. And even today, they're still finding art that the Nazis had taken, the stolen Nazi art. So George Clooney's character puts together a group that they call the Monuments Men, and they're there to try and preserve, you know, buildings from getting bombed or attacked. They want to try and get stolen art and return it to where it belongs because it's important to keep these things alive so, you know, history just doesn't get destroyed. So that's a really great concept. But I think some of the things that just didn't really work, the characters. We're with these characters, but we really don't get a sense of who they are. So it's very light on the character development. Its tone is all over the place. It's sometimes it's kind of funny. It's kind of like a caper movie, but it also at the same time maybe shouldn't be like that. It's got a really serious subject, and there's some things in there that is truly dreadful that you get to see. So I think maybe a little bit of a more serious tone with more character development would have been good, and maybe some more history about the art and, you know, even why it wanted to be taken in the first place. But, you know, there was a lot of potential, which I don't think it quite lived up to it. But again, it's a decent movie to watch in the afternoon. I enjoyed it for what it was. And, you know, people like Bill Murray and John Goodman, they're really entertaining. And of course, I did get to have a bit of a drool over Jean Jardin because he's just an absolutely beautiful man. So there was that. And again, yeah, another 3 out of 5, which seems to be my score at the moment. So yes, just some quick reviews there. And with a bit of an update, I have been trying to catch up on a lot of TV shows. I've managed to get up to date with, like, Bates Motel, and I really enjoyed season one. It's not groundbreaking, but I think it did a great job of updating the story, but still having it as a bit of a prequel to the Norman Bates that we know from Psycho. It's got really fun performances. It's really entertaining. It's obviously very, very silly. This town just has, like, murders and all this really bad stuff happening. It's like, really? So yeah, it's not quite believable, but it's fairly entertaining. I really liked season one. With the 3 episodes so far of season two, it hasn't completely grabbed me, but I'm hoping it'll be getting better. I've also caught up on Hannibal and absolutely loving this show. It took me about a year to get through season one just because it took me forever to do anything. But it's really well done. Again, it's updating the story of, like, Hannibal Lecter, Will Graham, who you would know from the book Red Dragon, or the films Manhunter and Red Dragon. And if you're familiar with the character of Jack Crawford from that and Silence of Lambs. So it's got some familiar characters. It's taking place before Hannibal Lecter was caught. And Will Graham is, like, I guess he's like the profiler, so he goes into a murder scene, gets into the mind of the murderer to work out what's happened. So Will Graham is played by Hugh Dancy, and he's really, really good. Hannibal Lecter is played by the absolutely stunning Mads Mikkelsen, and I hate to admit it, but my god, Hannibal Lecter is now incredibly sexy because of that casting. And he's magnificent in the role. He's really good. Hannibal is just both delightful and really creepy. It's this really wicked mix that I don't think we've quite really seen this approach to the character before. So I really like it. And some really interesting casting with Lawrence Fishburne as Jack Crawford. I really like it. I think he suits the role tremendously well. So there's this really, like, a lot of interesting dynamics going on that I really like. And it is a very macabre show for, you know, network TV, which is NBC in the US. And here it's on Fox 8 along with Bates Motel. But it, you know, it might not be the best thing on TV right now, but it is the most visually stunning. It makes a murder scene just have this strange beauty to it. And it doesn't feel right saying that, but it does. It's just shot and captured, like, every scene just so beautifully. I really enjoyed season one, and season two is really good so far. It's definitely captured me a lot more than Bates Motel has for the second season. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this one goes. So yeah, those are the ones that I've, like, been catching up on and watching. I look forward to checking out True Detective. It's now had its 8-episode run, and everyone is talking about it, but I don't watch things as they're on, so I'll try to catch up with that down the track. And coming up for theatrical releases, I'm not too sure what I will see. I may try and catch Need for Speed. It does have Aaron Paul, so that's quite a win. We do have Captain America the Winter Soldier coming up, and that's the one I'm just absolutely so excited for, and hopefully, you know, if my health is in a decent place, we can talk about that on an upcoming podcast. And just for things in the future, hopefully we will have more shows and I'm going to try to get a lot more content up. But please be patient, because my health, it's different from day to day. One day I might feel all right, another day I might just not be able to get out of bed. So you can never tell what's happening. So just bear with me. Things will get done eventually. And with that, it's a short podcast. Just some, you know, about what I've been watching, some reviews, and hopefully we'll get in a lot more reviews. I plan on watching, you know, when things are okay, The Act of Killing on DVD from Mad Men, and of course continue with My Little Pony reviews. And because my brain doesn't function, I did see Nebraska, which was, you know, Oscar-nominated movie for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, with Bruce Dern and June Squibb. And I love this movie. I would definitely give it 4.5 out of 5. It's a great movie. It's something quite, I don't know, it does have that Alexander Payne feel, but not quite. I guess it has more in common with, say, About Schmidt than Election. As weird as that comparison is. Yeah, I'd recommend this. It's a really sweet movie. The performances are fantastic. I mean, June Squibb, can I adopt her? She's amazing. Thanks to my mum for, you know, getting me to watch it. It's not that I didn't want to watch it, it's just I haven't been well, and, you know, I actually forgot that I'd watched it, which is bad, because it's so damn good and entertaining, and just, it's such a lovely movie. It really is. There's a lot to love about it. It's a simple film, but it's filled with so much. And with that, brings this little podcast to a close. And of course, you can find me at supermarcy.com. You can look up Super Podcast on Facebook. And the address should be facebook.com/sm.com/Super Podcast, if that's wrong, oopsies. You can follow me on Twitter at Super Marcy, so twitter.com/Super Marcy, and you can write in at marcy@supermarcy.com. and if you want to check out some of the site contributors, like the Terrible Australian Bead, you can go to his Facebook page, The Terrible Australian, and you can follow him at Twitter at twitter.com/BeadJamine. And if you want to contact the lovely Bea Harper. You can look up Bea Harper on Facebook, or you can check out her works at adventureamigos.net, I believe. If that's wrong, Garrett, you can slap me. With that, I'll say adios, and hopefully I'll be back very soon with more content and podcasts and, you know, the rest. All right, guys, take it easy. Love to love you. Bye-bye.